The New Testament word that describes the highest form of love is agape. It is found 106 times in Scripture, and it depicts God's unconditional, unending, and perfect love. God gives His love to every Christian and commands them to love others as He has loved them. Hi, I'm Chris Montgomery, and you're listening to Fraser 365. This month, we're exploring what that kind of perfect love looks like, how God loves us, and how His love empowers us to love others here and now. So thanks for joining us, and we hope that this study will challenge you to show the love of Christ to everyone around you today and every day.
This is day 32 of Love Now. Today's title is A Mature, Complete Love. Corrie Ten Boom said, "You never so touch the ocean of God's love as when you forgive and love your enemies." Our text today is Matthew 5, 43 through 48. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." As we grow in our relationship with the God of love, we mature in the way we show love to others. In Matthew 5, Jesus challenges His followers to another progression in spiritual growth. Christ begins the conversation with an interesting statement. "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.'" Some may ask, when did Scripture ever say, "Hate your enemy"? It doesn't say that anywhere in the Old Testament. What many people miss is that Jesus is not quoting from Scripture here. Rather, He is referring to a Pharisaical misinterpretation of the Old Testament. Notice that Jesus does not say, "It is written," as He often did when quoting Scripture. Instead, He said, "You have heard," by which He meant the Jewish tradition that had grown up around the Old Testament. The following Scripture illustrates where the religious leaders put their traditions over God's Word. Matthew 15, 3 through 6 reads, Jesus replies, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God and for the sake of your tradition." The truth is that the God of love commanded love both in the Old and New Testaments, and never at any time commanded that we hate another person. In fact, it was just the opposite. We are to love our enemies. Myron Augsburger and Lloyd J. Ogilvy provide excellent commentary on today's scripture. Jesus' teaching on loving our enemies introduces a new element into ethical behavior. It is one of the most difficult as well as the most unique passages. This is not the natural course of action for man. Only the disciple who has been born of the Spirit, who knows the enabling grace of Christ, can live by this standard. It is the extension of Christ's love, not of the natural affliction as eros or phileo, but of agape, a love which is an act of the will more than of the heart. Such love is not primarily something you feel, but something you do, opening your life in the Spirit of Christ even to your enemy. Such love includes the entire life, disposition, word, act, and intercession. In verse 45, Jesus bases His call to love on the very nature and practice of the Father, who, in perfect love, without respect of persons, treats enemies and friends alike in His gracious providence. The next two verses, 46 and 47, call us to the higher ethic of positive love. Jesus says that to treat others as they have been treated is to behave at the same level as the sinners around us who do not experience the transforming grace of Christ. Perhaps the injunction in verse 47 is as difficult to any, to be gracious to those who are not our brethren, who are not of our group. This needs to be heard as a corrective admonition for all whose denominational prejudice and group bias, or whose cozy security in a primary fellowship, keeps them from being a light to the world. Jesus removes all of the fences. He breaks down the walls. He shows us that loving enemies is of God, and sharing God's kingdom is to share His way of love. Such are the sons of the Father in heaven. Such are godly men. The commandment to be perfect in the same way our Father is perfect is to be seen in this context of love. His perfect love is without discrimination. Our love is to be open to all people, friends, and enemies. We should not read the word perfect as a philosophical or moralistic perfection. The Greek word teleos, a word which carries the meaning of culmination, of maturity, of achievement and function, we are created in the image of God. And having perverted this image in sin, we are recreated in grace and bound to be conformed to the image of His Son. The goal of the disciple is to live in this perfection, this teleos, this extension of the love of Christ. It is an active word, and in context, means that our love must be all-inclusive as God's is all-inclusive. A complete Christian's love is impartial, and a mature believer realizes that no earthly tradition can ever usurp or nullify the commands of God found in His Word. Here are some questions to consider today. What challenges do you face with Jesus' command to love your enemies? Why is love for enemies the most remarkable display of God's unconditional love? In what ways do you see believers today placing their traditions over the Word of God? Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.